Bennett Dam was a curse to our land, to our people. I mean, it by them shutting, by them taking our water at this end and flooding it with a man-made lake on the other side of the Bennett Dam, where they totally destroyed Aboriginal homes, graveyards. You know, I mean, that was all. I think they were given like 48 hours to move out. I mean, this is the, you know, I talk about power of the, you know, of the Europeans. But I don't know what else to use it, but, you know, I mean, that, you know, and for them to write a letter to us saying that we would not, our Delta would not be affected, makes us feel, you know, made my Uncle Fred, you know, believed them. And we saw the results almost right away. The lake here has dropped at least 3 meters. And this is the lake. And so the Delta, which depends on, you know, on the floods, not every year, but every other year or so, we would get a flood that would replenish the Delta, the Snies and inland lakes, you know, so the muskrats and beavers were plentiful, and that was all taken away. You know, the water dried out, the lakes dried out, the and my dad, you know, I mean, saw that. Not only my dad, most of the people here who are land users noticed that. Because they, in the early 70s, they had a, we were swamped with scientists that came to check, they called it the Delta Project. And we had scientists, you know, I mean, they're doing fish count and duck count and all kind of samples, you know, of what was happening to our land as the water dropped. The reports are someplace out there. We've been interviewed to death about the death of our Delta. There've been documentaries made about it, stories told about it. And this was before the influx of the tar sands. So our water from the Peace River was held back by the Bennett Dam, which did damage to the farmers there. With no consideration, because they saw the water as a way, you know, for a resource, you know. And what my late brother Pat was a spokesman for the, he was a chief negotiator for the ACFN, you know, with industry and whatnot. And he always used the treaty as a weapon, you know, because we the First Nations signed a treaty with the first, with the Queen of, you know, the Queen, the Crown. And here, when you think about it, you know, we have the Crown and then the feds and then the provincial and then the municipality and then the First Nation. So we're way down there when we signed a treaty with the Crown. And I mean, that treaty promised us that they would take care of us and whatnot. Why did we need taken care of? We survived thousands of years before they came. And my brother used to say, you know, that, you know, they signed a treaty and saying, you know, we'll take care of you, you know, when all they wanted to do was exploit all our resources. And when you think about it, that's what the treaty was. And I mean, it was a real cruel way to trick the people into, and trying to assimilate them into the white society and, you know, issues like the Bennett Dam, you know, was just another tactic that they used, that our say was not worth anything. So, yeah, the Bennett Dam did a lot of damage. It and that was just like the resources. But when you think about the people that were affected, the families that were affected by a loss of life, a way of life, were trapping was taken away from them, they had to move off the land. Well, they were more or less forced to move off the land and into the community. And idle hands, turned to the wrong things, alcohol, and that. And many of those trappers were the best. We used to call them riflemen, because they were such sharpshooters, and they were their families were well off, living off the land. And then to have that taken away and forced to move into matchbox houses and the our way of life that was on the land diminished over time. People start eating less and less traditional foods and going with fast foods. Of course, diabetes is on the rise. We have community of 1,200. I think we have about 200 diabetic people. And so, a lot of children do not want to eat the food from the land. They prefer chicken nuggets and fries and stuff like that. So the impact of the Bennett Dam is not just the loss of the water. Mm. It's all that and more what happened after the fact, when you think about it, and it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
It's getting to the point, last summer we had lots of water. We all got flooded out, which was an unusual year. There was a lot of snow runoff, and in the mountains. So we, I have a home in the Delta, and I was totally, my clearing where my husband and I had our tourist camp is totally destroyed. And, I'm a widow now, and so I'm not going back to move there. I'm just going to move out. But everyone that had a cabin out in the land in the Wood Buffalo National Park, we were all flooded out. I was not flooded out as bad as those in the park, because they built on flat ground, and so they were, their homes, like they had water in the houses. So you have all those things from the Bennett Dam, and now they're building Site C, which is going to be more. Yeah. It's just no stopping them. It's not like that, they know what's going to happen, and they're building in the mountains. What if there's an earthquake? What happens? That's possible.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it, but it's a possibility. And so, yeah, the Bennett Dam changed our way of life here. It took away our resources, created a lot of social problems for many families, a lot of alcohol-related deaths, alcoholism on the rise, with drug use now. It's, when people go out on the land, they have to navigate their way on the lake. If you don't know how to read water, you'll end up on a sandbar. Travel to Fort McKay used to be a breeze. Now it's you have to really know the river, or like I said, it's just everything has changed because we have our water taken away from us.